Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today, we're actually going to be talking about how to be successful after we reach a certain age, right? We're not going to mention that age, but you know, how are we going to continue our lives once we are maybe not working, maybe working part-time, all of those various things. So please join me in welcoming Marcia Mantell to our program today. Welcome, Marcia. How are you?
Hello, Deb. I am great. And I am so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
You know, we're going to have so much fun. And it's one of those subjects that a lot of people go, oh, yawn at, or worse, they're ostriches. And I'm kind of the ostrich. You know, we hide our heads in the sand. And part of it is because it's boring, but you make it so much fun. And so we really are going to have a good time chatting today.
I am so looking forward to it.
Well, let me tell people a little bit about you. Then we'll jump into this. So Marcia Mantell is a retirement maven, speaker, author, and blogger. She has been helping the country's foremost financial services firms and advisors increase their knowledge of complex retirement concepts and regulations, including Social Security and Medicare, for 30 years. She started when she was four. She was first at Fidelity Investments, then the last 18 years from her own consultancy firm. She has a remarkable ability to translate complex laws and concepts into everyday language that educates and motivates real people to take the right steps to achieve their retirement. She was named an IA25 honoree by Think Advisor in 2021, one of the advisors, experts, and leaders in financial services who are pushing the industry forward. Marcia is married to her college sweetheart, and they have two grown and, of course, quite brilliant daughters. And she has two cats. She is also the author of several books, and she recently wrote Cooking Up Your Retirement Plan. So again, Marcia, welcome.
Thank you, Deb.
Well, you know, we were laughing, you know, before we started the program. I always ask for people to tell me how to pronounce their name. And, you know, because sometimes it is rather complicated. And you just said it's like the Brady Bunch. And of course, in my head, and it's been stuck there now for days, is Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. But what happened when I did that too was I went, oh, she's my people. We're of that same demographic. We get that reference, right? You know, you tell a Gen Zer, Marcia, 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 and they look at you like, is something stuck? What's wrong?
Yeah.
But you know, it you know, I mentioned that you had, you know, you've been in this business for quite a while, but you've had a variety of things that have happened. And more importantly, you are in an area where not a lot of women excel. And so I love that because, especially because March is Women's History Month. And as we're recording this, yesterday was International Women's Day. So tell us a little bit more about how you really got to where you are today and are such a successful woman in this industry.
Well, thank you for all of that wonderful intro. And yes, I'll get to answer the question, but yeah, Marcia Brady, my hero. No one had a name like Marcia. I wanted my name to be Anne Marie, and it wasn't. And then it's spelled funny, you know, with CIA. So, you know, the Brady's for us, for our boomer generation, you know, we had new color TVs. It was new by the time we got it. And we had, you know, dials that you turned for the four or five stations you got. So, you know, our background, our history, where we're anchored is just light years different from where our kids and, and the younger people are anchored. And I find it fascinating to watch this now, you know, from that perch of 61, you know, looking back, it is a fascinating journey. And women in particular have had just monumental leaps and bounds of progress, which is very exciting. And I love celebrating International Women's Day and Women's History Month. But boy, we have a long way to go, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But how did I get here? All right. So I've been 30 years in the retirement industry that I quite literally fell into. But I had some years before that. It's interesting. I've more or less, and I think, again, it's part of our generation. We had a wonderful opportunity to go to college, my generation. The women who are about 10
and
years
not
old
be and teachers up, or nurses, which of course are very, very wonderful professions. But, you know, that really was not the only option.
And we did have more opportunities. And there were those few trailblazers before us who were about 10 years older. But by the time we got to college, every door was open.
Right.
You could do anything and try new things and such. But we didn't go, for the most part, we didn't go to be a thing. We didn't go to be a doctor. We didn't go to be a lawyer. We went to college. And then after college, you got a job. It wasn't this grand stress that is on the young people today. You know, you were just on this meandering journey and you tried a little this, a little that. And then you opened the newspaper. We had them. And you found a job.
There were help wanted ads.
It's just how I actually got here. Because my first job, my first job was working at the University of Minnesota bookstore. I didn't love that. So I went to the help wanted ads and I found an opportunity with a glass company to try sales. My dad said, try sales. Try sales. I'm not a sales girl. And then I opened the want ads again. And I found this job at Finger Hut, which was a direct mail.
We used to get the catalogs.
It was a huge catalog company before, you know, the TV.
Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet.
Exactly. So it was this catalog company, and there's a real discipline to marketing and to the entire industry around direct mail marketing, which is now internet. Well, it's now Amazon. But I got to start there because I walked in a door, because I tried it. And I lasted there for several years. And my husband was getting his PhD in chemistry from University of Minnesota. And when he finished that, he got a job in the Boston area, which is where we still are all these years later. He was working for Polaroid, which of course imploded. He's on a whole new trajectory. But we land here in the Boston area. I got a job in direct mail marketing. And then I, you know, because again, you walk doors when it's a door open for you and calls you or says, hey, I found your resume or I saw something you did online. Walk through the door. You can walk back out, but at least see what's there. And so I end up at the Fidelity Investments ad agency in 1992. And they were hiring like crazy because the laws around retirement were changing dramatically and they needed support. So it's just been this really quirky journey where fell into this role at Fidelity in retirement, loved everything about retirement. I know, though, everyone else thinks it's boring.
Just don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. You know, back then, I was 31 when I started working at Fidelity. And the Roth IRA came into being during my tenure there, the simple IRA for small businesses. It's just been this wonderful, rich landscape to sink your teeth into. But most people don't want to do that. So then how do you make it fun? Well, after 13 years at Fidelity, and it was an amazing experience, big, big company, you know, financial services. I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity, which of course I wouldn't have gotten had I not been able to go to college. So, you know, it was just this, this journey, but my kids were going into Katie, my older one was going into high school, and Lindsay, my little one, was in elementary school. And you know, your household falls apart when mom ain't home.
Right.
And something had to change. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just scream at these kids all the time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't miss out on everything.
Right. Yeah. Because they're doing after school events and all sorts of things that you wanted to be a part of.
Absolutely. And you know, corporate America just does not accommodate 2 to 3 o'clock.
No,
your kids need you, you know, and they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You have to solve this. So in 2005, the market was roaring at the time. Everything was looking up wonderfully. You know, we've recovered greatly after September 11th and things are great. And so I quit my job. Mm-hmm. And then I called my husband.
Oh, so, honey, you quit first? Oh my gosh.
I quit first. I was having a bad day. Mm-hmm. And he knew it was coming.
Right.
We had talked about it for quite some time. And I just had it at that day. And I said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So I called Dan and I said, okay, so I quit my job. And he goes, oh God, what are we going to do now? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I start my business. You know, I don't have the snappiest name of all the business names out there. You know, I'm not Nike or, you know, Pepsi and Coke, but Intel Retirement Consulting, you know, it's got a ring to it. Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, with what I loved. Mm-hmm. I loved this retirement industry. And it was extremely fortunate. Your network is, I think, the most important asset anyone can have. Mm-hmm. And having this network and letting them know that I was leaving, but I wanted to continue in retirement, I continually got hired to work on projects within corporate big home offices.
Oh,
so that's how my business started. Mm-hmm. It was really, and until COVID, the lion's share by a lot, like 92% of my revenues were coming in through, you know, corporate clients and doing all kinds of neat things that you would never do if you stayed in a company. Mm-hmm. I quit my job every 6 or 8 or 18 months you know, to do all these things. So it was corporate America first, but my last 2 years at Fidelity, I spent in the advisor side of our industry. Mm-hmm. And traveled around the country, talking to retirement advisors about retirement and retirement income. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to get back to that, working with financial advisors. Mm-hmm. They're really overwhelmed today. Mm-hmm. They need to be experts in investments, first and foremost. They have regulatory stuff that comes at them like a fire hose.
Massively.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a crazy situation we're in with all the regulations and compliance and legalese that we all need to know. They have to be nice to clients, right? They have to build a business. They have to meet certain
And those clients are Googling every single thing they do.
Exactly. So the client has changed. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that the advisors could really use a member on their team who has certain expertise. And my expertise is in the retirement rules, Social Security, and Medicare. Mm-hmm. And that's where all their clients are heading.
Right.
You know, their clients aren't 30 anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, in a blink of an eye, their clients are now 60.
I know. What the heck happened?
You're so fast. I thought I'd have 30 years to get here.
Right.
So that's really been the journey. And throughout it, I've been able to, I mean, again, we really do wake up and try to be grateful every day because had I stayed in corporate America, I probably would have had a lot more money, but I wouldn't have the opportunity to write these books that I've always wanted to do. And my blog, I think I've been blogging as long as you've been podcasting.
Oh, wow.
I think my first blog post was 2011, if I'm not mistaken.
I love it.
So, so I have this blog, Boomer Retirement Briefs. Mm-hmm. So it's been around for, you know, quite some time now. Mm-hmm. Talking about how boomers are changing this idea of retirement. Mm-hmm. Let's not put our heads in the sand about it. Let's figure out what it should be, because it is not what we saw in the past. It's not what we want. We fully reject the sitting on the couch. What's it going to be?
Right.
And there's some amazing boomers doing amazing things out there that I try to capture.
Right.
So it's just, I've been able to do such fun things and, you know, largely get paid for a lot of it.
I get to write. That's a bonus.
It is a bonus. You know, I still had to feed the kids. And my husband's so funny. He would say, when I still, you know, people think having your own business that you control your time.
Right.
Big mistake. You don't control your time.
No.
Instead of it being your boss in corporate America, it's your clients, you know, and deliveries and deliverables still have to happen. So it's fun. But Dan would always tell our girls, you know, if mama don't work, we don't eat. Mm-hmm. So you do have to feed your family as well. Right. So I don't really believe in work-life balance. I don't think there's such a thing.
Well, balance is 50-50. And that's not going to happen.
It's not. It's always 90-10. It's just mm-hmm. what side of the 90 and 10 are you on? Right. Mm-hmm. But it is life. Mm-hmm. So embrace it. Do mm-hmm. the best you can. And right. that's sort of been my philosophy and the way I've been able to muddle through, you mm-hmm. know, day to day. And get to do a lot of what I never thought I'd get to do.
I love it.
But yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah. You know, and of course, as you said, your retirement really changed when all of us baby boomers, you know, because the generation before us, there just wasn't as many of them. You know, number wise, there wasn't as many. And baby boomers to me are almost even broken down into two. You know, there's the older baby boomers, and then there's all of us who really think about, you know, what are we going to do in our 70s and 80s and maybe even 90s and be very active, you know, and those that came before us, our parents, they're thinking, am I going to make it to 70? and I mean, that was, you know, it wasn't that they were, you know, that was just the facts of life. I mean, you know, the average age length and all of that changes, mm-hmm. you know, we're there. But I love that you talk about, you know, women and how, you know, it's so different. I just saw earlier today, and I'm sure this was popping up because of, you know, women's history and all of those things, that until 1974, so we were, let's see, 10 and 12, 11. I can't do that math.
74,
today.
I was 13.
Yeah. So 12 and 13. We were teenagers and women still had to have a male co-signer to open a bank account. Seriously. Yeah, and I'm like, card. Oh my God, every time I see that, I'm like, no. You know, now, first of all, I can't imagine my mother putting up with that. People just really did think that women had to be protected. They had to be coddled, but more importantly, that they weren't smart enough to do this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I love that you really focus on the fact that, first of all, we do live longer usually, you know, but that is one of the problems is we live longer, but did we plan for it and all of those various things?
Yeah. I love that you heard that. So I have this little timeline that mm-hmm. I have in one of my blogs. I put it out on Facebook yesterday for uh-huh. International Women's Month. And it's got a number of those mm-hmm. catastrophes, right. I would call them. Mm-hmm. So 1974, exactly right. It's the mm-hmm. Equal Credit Opportunity Act. Mm-hmm. So that, so I, you know, when it came my turn to get a credit mm-hmm. card, Dan and I got married very young. Mm-hmm. Once have asked Dan for anything financially. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted a credit card, I'd go open it.
Right.
Longer couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about women in the 1800s with the long.
We're talking about our mothers.
Our mothers, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. It is oldest boomers as well. It is stunning. And not only that, if a woman was granted mm-hmm. the privilege of having a credit card because daddy signed it or hubby mm-hmm. signed, you know, for her to have it, mm-hmm. her credit was much smaller.
Right.
She couldn't get the same amount. And if she was a single mm-hmm. woman, not even attached to income, mm-hmm. income was discounted. Mm-hmm. So if she made back then, say $20,000 a year, it's like, mm-hmm. well, it's as if you're making, I'll make this up. I don't know the actual factors, mm-hmm. but $5,000. Right. So you're only entitled to this little bit. Uh-huh. Women have put up with this, but have fought mm-hmm. for improvements and mm-hmm. better equality and better access mm-hmm. for, well, it's more than 100 years, but mm-hmm. give or take, I started with 1920 when mm-hmm. we finally got the right to vote.
Right.
And it is so important, you know, in our financial advisory world, we have lots of us older people. Mm-hmm. And a whole ton of younger people. Mm-hmm. And there's this clash between the generations, which mm-hmm. I don't like.
Right.
And it's, again, lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. So I try to anchor everything in these facts and mm-hmm. circumstances.
Right.
And it's like, understand the boomer's journey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that we just decided to reinvent retirement, for example, it's that the laws changed and the rug was pulled out from under that entire half of the boomer generation were to work like their parents had and their grandparents had. They're going to work for their 30, 35 years at a company, get a pension, retire. Oh, yeah. Except the pensions went away.
Right.
Well, now what? You know, and the younger people often will say to me, well, why didn't you start saving in your 401k earlier?
It didn't exist.
It didn't exist. Exactly. It's like, oh my gosh, they don't know. It wasn't invented yet. Even when it came into being, 1982, companies didn't adopt it.
No.
Like the next day.
Right. And they had to be a big company because there were a lot of expenses and things that went with it.
Absolutely. It takes a decade for any of these ideas to really get traction. You know, we look at it with HSAs today, health savings accounts. Same thing. They're 15 years old.
Right.
But only, I don't know, a third of companies offer them.
Right.
Maybe it's half now.
Well, I tell people I have an HSA and they're like, what's it?
What? Yeah. It really has not filtered into the fabric of everyone's possibilities. So 20 years from now, you know, that as we turn the generations over, that generation and the new one will say, why weren't you saving in your HSA, you big dummy?
Right.
It's like, didn't have them. You know, so I think keeping things in perspective, especially on the women's journey, is so important because it's not that we weren't smart enough. It's that we weren't allowed.
Right.
And that's for me, I think the single most important financial account, bar none, is the IRA. Because it's an individual account. It stands for individual retirement arrangement. Individual means one person. And when you're married, which most boomers, 92% of women were married, didn't always last, but we have that as our foundation. If you were married, first of all, you couldn't have an IRA, by the way, if you were an at-home mom. That didn't happen until 1997. That's the one that makes me tear my hair out. I was at Fidelity. When the Fidelity marketing team went to Congress to support the homemakers IRA, that current, that at-home moms could save as much in an IRA as the working dad. But this account is so important because only one person controls all of it. They control how much money goes in up to the limit, $6,500. It's a huge account. It's not about the size of the account. It's about the ownership and the control and where that money's going when you die.
Right.
We don't put enough emphasis on that for women. Understand that it isn't just so you can have an account and say, I got a piece of paper here says I have an account. It's how you get into investing. How you start to learn the ropes of this unbelievably complex system we have. And get to control it. So I do tied many financial advisors who will say, well, it's not always tax advantaged. Couldn't care less.
Right.
It's not about being tax advantaged.
It's about being in charge.
Ownership. Yes, exactly. Right. So that's my passion for boomer women in particular and credit for the bricks we've laid in the path of history.
Right.
So that our girls don't have to repeat the same shenanigans that we've gone through.
You know,
I wouldn't wish that on my daughters.
You know, they're still unfortunately not paid as much as they should be, you know, and but I the fun thing about that is what we see is so many women are saying, I don't need a corporate job. I'm going to go off on my own and make my fortune and be in charge. And I think that's been a big part of it. And I love seeing the millennials who have done this and have said, you know, I'm going to go off on my own. I, you know, and then of course that has led to so many other things because it has led to, you know, insurance that individuals can buy for themselves. You know, all of the various different types of retirement accounts, you know, because we have so many men and women who are small business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, it's, it, we are, you know, I'm sure statistically the number may still be that, you know, the majority are in corporate America, But that is changing, and it's even changing in corporate America. I mean, you know, that we've got so many people who are consultants, who are part-timers, you know, the whole gig economy. I mean, all of those various things. And it is forcing changes to the financial world.
Yes, it is. And I agree with you. Like I said, this clash between the generations has got to stop. Mm-hmm. I adore the millennials. Mm-hmm. I am so happy to get to see how some of my sacrifices and the women of our generation, they get to reap some of those benefits now. It's like, God, you know, we did not put in, and we had a huge leg up too from the last generation. Right. I mean, believe me, we did not invent this path here, but I love seeing the fruits of those rewards and getting to see, and I just, I didn't judge, but I worked at a science fair here in Massachusetts last weekend. My husband's a scientist, so he was the judge. I helped with logistics. The women, there were 120 displays.
Women in the STEM programs is incredible.
Well, both of my daughters are in STEM. One's a computer scientist. The other has a PhD in biomedical engineering.
Holy cow.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can you be my kids?
Right.
You know? So these millennials and the millennial women are so magnificent in what they do today, but it's really where they're going to get to go.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, let's celebrate that. And by the way, I need those millennial kids to tell me how to use my darn technology.
I know. So,
look, I can help you on your financial picture and get you started in your 20s, which is your most important decade to save and invest. Help you there because that was, you know, our learnings. Could you show me how to work my cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, have things to offer.
Because, of course, they grew up with them attached to their hands.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's just, it is so much fun to see the changes because they benefit everyone. You know, I mean, that's the thing is we're not taking anything away from men when we're saying, hey, we need to do this. If anything, it frees them because they're not the sole, you know, financial person, you know, and, you know, it just, it really is, it's just been wonderful to watch all these changes.
It really has. It is this much more equal, between the genders.
Right.
Particularly we're talking about with partnerships and marriages.
Right.
And the one area though, that just, I have a burr in my saddle here is around the 401k, you know, which is our most powerful. It's our, for the most people, it is your biggest bucket of retirement money. You know,
it goes up and goes down.
And hopefully it will land on that upswing, you know, which is fantastic. And I mean, people do have, they have hundreds of thousands into millions of dollars in these 401ks and 403bs, all these retirement plans offered at your company and organization. But they are greatly misunderstood in a marriage because 401ks are also individually owned accounts.
Right.
And Dan has his in our house and Marsha has hers, but you're legally not allowed to have any say in the other's retirement money. And yet this bucket is meant for the two of you. So where it really comes to play, I call it a power imbalance between the spouses. Because if, and in most cases, there's one 401k that's really big, this little baby went over here.
Right. Because we raised families and all of those various things. Yes. We didn't contribute to it as much.
That's exactly right. Or back to your comment about not being paid as much.
Right. There was just less to go.
You have less right to spread around the kitchen table, but also less to put into those 401ks.
Right.
These are long journey things, right? These are now 30 and 40 year plans. But at the point of leaving a job or retiring and getting ready to walk into retirement, decisions need to be made. And generally what happens is that 401k money gets rolled over to an IRA.
Right.
You have a lot more investment choices. The advisors can help you work through different investment strategies and such. And you've got to get ready to have distributions or income. You got to spend it because that's why you've been saving it. So you can have a fun retirement. Well, let's say that Dan has $1 million IRA and Marsha has $100,000 IRA because we've rolled. Well, back to the IRA being the single most important account.
Individual, though.
Individual. Daniel entirely owns that $1 million bucket. Mm-hmm. My 100,000. Mm-hmm. Well, what if I want some of that money over there? Dad's right. money. Mm-hmm. Can't have it.
Right.
Not yours. Mm-hmm. You can't issue a distribution. Mm-hmm. You can't just take money out. You don't have a checkbook with mm-hmm. your name on it. That right. if there's a checkbook or a debit mm-hmm. card, it's Dan's. Mm-hmm. So it's totally the person, and mm-hmm. it could be me. It could be the opposite, right? I could have $1 million and Dan's got mm-hmm. 100,000. So it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. this imbalance, this mm-hmm. power imbalance.
Right.
That if the two of you aren't on the same page.
Right. There's problems.
The bigger bucket, right. He gets to ultimately decide, or mm-hmm. she gets to ultimately decide whether they're going to take that trip to Hawaii right. mm-hmm. or buy that new thing.
Yeah, because it's my money.
My money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am on this soapbox. I'm a little bit alone. So there is Patty Murphy, a senator mm-hmm. from Washington State, is mm-hmm. also on this bandwagon, mm-hmm. as are others in Washington, mm-hmm. that the laws need to change. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are a lot of ideas around there. Mm-hmm. For me, I think we should make things simpler. Mm-hmm. If you're married, or at the mm-hmm. point you get married,
right.
that 401k becomes a
joint,
paired, a joint account, mm-hmm. for lack mm-hmm. of a better term. Right. And when that money goes to an IRA, mm-hmm. it must be split 50-50. Mm-hmm. Each of you gets your own.
Right.
Because that way we don't have to try to create a new infrastructure mm-hmm. within this behemoth right. that is financial services. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea that, and it really is right now with boomer women, it's the boomer woman with the much, much smaller account.
Mm-hmm. And who's going to live longer.
Who's going to live longer. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even have any right. Mm-hmm. I mean, no right whatsoever. Right. Once that money goes to mm-hmm. the IRA, she does not know who hubby has put as the beneficiary.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking the only way she has control is if he dies. But
only if he named her as yeah. the sole primary beneficiary.
Yeah. He might have thought the dog needed the money.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're good causes, right? I mean, it's not like it's going to, you know, mm-hmm. the girlfriend.
Right. But hopefully not.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully not. But usually it's the well-intended. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I'll make this 401k money that rolled to an IRA. Mm-hmm. If you don't have an advisor, you don't know this a lot mm-hmm. of times. I'll make it my wife and my three children.
Right.
Seems reasonable.
Right. But that means she just got a quarter of it.
That's exactly what it means. And that was not what they intended.
Right.
But that's in fact what happened. Mm-hmm. And now she's stuck.
Right. Right.
And living longer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, these kinds of things, they really make me crazy. It's mm-hmm. this technical minutia mm-hmm. that I love. No one else loves this.
I know. Right? We all go, and so then we don't do it. Because we're right. like, you know, overwhelmed, really,
know what to do. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I do try to make it less daunting mm-hmm. and, you know, threatening as all that. But, mm-hmm. you know, really work with mm-hmm. the financial advisors and, mm-hmm. and financial firms right. to help women get in the game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We tell women all the time, you really should be more involved in your finances. You really should be a better investor. Mm-hmm. Like, then we get all nodding heads. Mm-hmm. How?
Right.
But what do I ask? What do I say? Right. Where do I start? Mm-hmm. And that's largely the impetus behind the reason I write for women mm-hmm. and on behalf of women and created this new cookbook, mm-hmm. Because we don't have anywhere to start. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's not unique to women. The men right. don't know a heck of a lot more.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, because as you said, it is big and it is complicated and the laws change. Every time somebody sneezes.
Exactly.
You know, and of course, all we hear about is what we hear about in the media. You know, and that, you know, hello, Walter Cronkite died a long time ago. There's no such thing as unbiased media. You know, and so you just have to you know, understand if you're listening to this one, they're going to have that point of view. If you're listening to this one, they're going to have the opposite point of view. So, you know, try and figure out what's in the middle. Well, let's talk about your book. You know, the most recent one is Cooking Up Your Retirement Plan. So first of all, why did you make it in kind of a recipe kitchen format?
What is the most familiar space we all share?
The kitchen.
It is our kitchens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been interesting. I had this idea many years ago, probably 2015-ish. So it's mm-hmm. been percolating for a while. And it was the rise of the cooking shows. Mm-hmm. I watched like every cooking show.
Oh, I know. Pioneer Woman rocks.
I love her. You know, Trisha's Southern Kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, you name it, I've watched it. Mm-hmm. The competitive shows, which, you know, they're just great. Mm-hmm. But those ingredients are super weird.
Right. I'm not going to cook with some of those things. I don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I've never heard of them or seen them. But and everywhere you go, and I think every person will tell you, when there's a party, when there's a family gathering, when there's a holiday, no matter how nicely you have done up your living room, everyone is in the kitchen. The whole in the living room.
At least
their snacks.
Women. Mm-hmm. The men are in front of the TV. The women are in the kitchen.
Often. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it is this gathering place. Mm-hmm. And it's also a special place. In my kitchen table, since I did quit my big corporate job, I could be home at 2 o'clock when the girls got home. Mm-hmm. We'd have tea every afternoon after school at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It was just 30 minutes. We'd have tea and a couple of cookies.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what you did today.
Right. Without it being that grilling, right? It was, you could just talk and hear what was going on and who was mean at school. Everything happens. Those important moments, the important discussions, everything happens at your kitchen table and in your kitchen.
Right.
And it's so familiar and it's so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, for me, you know, over time, these things sort of come to you and it's like, we have nothing familiar or comfortable in financial services.
No.
Nothing. And so I came up with this idea to create this cookbook. Mm-hmm. And this amazing designer, by the way, I could not have done this without Geralyn Miller. She, Miller Design, she is remarkable. Mm-hmm. First of all, she didn't laugh at me. Let me tell you, you know, Deb, this is not traditional financial services, right? This is really out of the box.
This is fun.
This is fun. It's super colorful. Mm-hmm. Geralyn created all these design elements, like a mixing bowl that says Medicare on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and hot pads with 401k and 403b on them. Mm-hmm. And it's colorful because if we don't find a way to make this stuff fun, women are going to get shortchanged.
Right.
And I just can't, if there's an idea I have and don't go out there with it, shame on me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want retirement to be fun. Mm-hmm. I want this transition time to be an opportunity to really think big and wide and broad. It's like, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And one of the ways, so that's a question often, right? We would ask as an industry, what do you want to do in retirement?
Mm-hmm. And everybody goes, not work. I mean, that might be
work, followed by travel. Mm-hmm. Which is great. Those are two worthy goals. Right. Let me not, you
but
know.
But those take, wait, I have a sound effect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They also don't take up 365 days a year times 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it's this, the cookbook is meant to give you and the person you're planning with, whether it's a spouse or partner or, you know, your kids need to be involved if you have, you know, if you're alone or your girlfriends or your sister, whomever. Mm-hmm. And it gives you this opportunity of where to start and what questions you need answers to. Right. And it's things like, not what do you want to do in retirement? Mm-hmm. I mean, really, who knows? Mm-hmm. It's a list of, here are a whole bunch of things. Would you consider any of these?
What are your friends doing? What sounds fun?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what do you not like? Mm-hmm. Like, who do you see that you don't like what they're doing? That might be a more important question than.
I mean, a big question might be, you know, somebody might say, I do not want to do yard work. Okay. Then that means you need to live somewhere where either yard work's done for you or you have no yard.
You know, absolutely. And that's huge, right? That is a gigantic decision right there that you don't even realize. Mm-hmm. And that then spins off all these other things. Oh, if we didn't have to spend time in the yard, we would have time on the weekends to do what?
Right.
You know, and you go from there. And it's a structure. Mm-hmm. So we have no structure. We have all these lofty questions and we don't ever give anyone any recipe.
Right.
So the book is meant to be a format that you create your own retirement menu, your dinner menu, whatever you want to call it. I sometimes think of it like Thanksgiving dinner, right? You need the turkey and the dressing or the stuffing and the sweet potatoes and, you know, and the pie. You need all of those.
Right. You need a little salt. You need a little pepper. I mean, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And everyone is different. Mm-hmm. And everyone gets to be different. Like, mm-hmm. this is a good thing.
Right.
So I had a ton of fun creating this book. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it could be a million pages long, 90 pages, mm-hmm. and it's broken into 6 different sections. Mm-hmm. I suggest you start at the beginning and go.
Right. It does make more better sense if you start at the beginning. Does. Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to. And actually, mm-hmm. when I use this book, because one of the things I offer is for individuals or couples mm-hmm. to work with me. Mm-hmm. And we do the 2-hour session,
right.
a 2-hour session on the first mm-hmm. 3 sections, a 2-hour. Mm-hmm. And then we get together to review mm-hmm. their plan ABC, mm-hmm. which is just your outline of what right. you're going to do over the next 10 mm-hmm. years. And it's interesting talking sometimes when I work with a couple, and I will ask them, do you want to start with the time part mm-hmm. of retirement or the money?
Right.
The women always start with the time. The mm-hmm. men almost always want to start with the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, we can flip the order. It doesn't matter. You mm-hmm. know, this is for you to use. Mm-hmm. But it is an interesting, yeah, we're different. You know, it's equal, but mm-hmm. different. So right. we need more equal. Mm-hmm. And we got plenty of different. Mm-hmm. And this, it gives you the grounding right. for it. And I think financial advisors could find this kind of book really useful. Mm-hmm. They don't have time,
right.
you know, to go through.
Yeah, they're not going to say now when you're 62 and a half,
what are you going to do? Where are you going to be? You know, what do you want? You know, and so on. Right. Mm-hmm. But to arm their clients mm-hmm. with this, so the clients can then right. come back and say, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, Charlie, right. we spent, you know, all this time at our kitchen table mm-hmm. thinking about mm-hmm. things we hadn't addressed. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because either we didn't want to, or mm-hmm. really we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And here's how it's going to impact mm-hmm. what we need for financial mm-hmm. stuff in retirement.
Right.
And the two pieces have to go together. Right. And we're just not there in the industry. Mm-hmm. I'd right. love for this to be the solution.
Right. Yeah. And what I love about it is not a sit down and read book. Now, yes, I did that because I was preparing for this program. But when you're using it as it's meant to be used, it is a workbook. And yes. so like I've got, you know, one of the pages open and it says, who will depend on me during my retirement years? Are there family members that you need to care for? And then what is that role going to be? And so it's person, my role. And then you fill in those blanks. There's only 4 slots there. Some people might need 5 pages, right. you know, and in, you know, some of the other sections, it's you and it's your partner who's filling out, you know, and then of course, you know, you're going to get together. And what I liked was, yeah, it really did make sense to just start going through and start filling these things in. And the thing that I really want to hit on is that you talk about doing this during the transition time. This is not that I'm retiring in 6 months. What are we going to do type of conversation? This is that we're retiring in 2 years, 5 years. You know, what are we going to do? And it's because you and I were chatting about this, you know, before we started,
yes.
you know, technically my husband can retire in 18-ish months. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we've been having those discussions. Have they been fruitful? Mm. I mean, you know, actually, we've ruled things out, which is a good thing. And I laugh that, you know, I will be working until the day I die just because of what I do. Same with you. I mean, you can be
same with me.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, and until, you know, as long as you possibly can. But, you know, my husband works for a corporation. And so at some point they're going to say, shoo,
you know,
and so then what? And I think what, you know, we have all seen our friends, our parents' friends who retired and died because they had no plan made. And they might have had millions of dollars. I mean, you know, usually it's not a financial thing. It's that they basically die of boredom because they never stop to think, you know, I don't want a garden. I want to spend every day in my garden. You know, all of those various things. You talk about volunteering. You know, just because you're not getting paid for it, maybe you can still teach someone to do it, whatever it is. Doesn't matter, you know, what that subject is. Somebody probably wants to learn or something totally different. I mean, you know, you might have worked in X industry And you took home your little paycheck. You know, it's kind of like that, the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Gotta make the donuts. Gotta make the donuts. And, you know, and so Donut Guy retires, and he's always thought that building model trains would be the greatest thing in the world. Okay. Did he plan for that? And does he want to work at the train shop? You know, and all of those various things. Does he want to, you know, do the rail tours? You know, and so planning all of that before you have to do it is, of course, what's most important. And making sure you're on the same page.
I could not agree more. And the other piece and part of the rationale for this kind of book, but people who are working with financial advisors and working, you know, through the industry, what we've started to get through the fabric of the American psyche now is retirement is 30 years or less. I mean, everyone's going to make it.
That's a good chunk of your life.
Yes, it is. But it's also overwhelming. It's like, oh my God, 30 years. What am I doing? So I anchored this book in a 10-year view. You can do a 5-year view or 10. And I like to look at just 10 because for me, it's easy. It fits on 2 pages. So you see it all together.
Yes.
And it was so funny, Deb, when my husband, Dan, and I were doing this, because I sampled this with a lot of people, including Dan. And he goes, fine, okay, I'll do it with you. Well, the first part of this plan A, this is you can do whatever you want. Just put something on paper. And we started in whatever, 2021, whatever it was. And we laid out the 10 years and then our ages. And we stopped right there and went,
that's how old we'll be?
10 years? We're going to start with a 7? But this was not scientific breakthrough here, and, you know, in concept,
but it's like hitting us over the head with a brick.
Yes, and we sort of stopped and looked, went, "Oh my God!" You know, like you really do stop. Now where do we go? And it's set up where you have, you know, ideas, just ideas for what you might do over these next 10 years. Because for us, the ideal time to start working with this book is either 50 or 55. That's when you'd want to lay up your next 10 years. The kids are largely taken care of, where you know where they're heading. Right. You know, you've got some big decisions to make, and you're usually still working. Well, when do you want to stop working? What's your ideal case, right? For your husband, is the ideal case. He does want to retire next year.
Then he'll
need to decide that.
Yeah.
Right. And then what are the implications on that? Because, you know, money is just not growing on those leaves outside of those trees.
We wish.
Exactly. So where's it going to come from? What are you going to do? And you cannot just sit home and do nothing. Like, that's just unacceptable. And I think for the boomer generation, we are good at looking for how to contribute. We've done that.
You know, so we're going to volunteer. We're going to get, maybe we're going to start our own business. You know, all of those things.
Absolutely. Yes. And, and really, it's low risk, right? You've made it, you know, all the way on the journey, 65 years, give or take. What cool thing do you want to try?
Well, of course, you need to be smart about it. If you're going to start your own business, let's not sink all of your funds into it.
Please don't cash out your entire 401k.
And all of those things. But you know, and I love that you do talk about, you know, looping in other family members. My mom is 91 and I'm an only child. My father passed away 15 years ago, somewhere around there. There was a big age difference. So we knew that, you know, and now my mother is the organized planner, you know, all these things. And so she's so funny because since he has passed away, she has taken my husband and I on big trips, you know, big trips, as in we went to Scotland and Ireland. We did an Alaskan cruise. All of these things, we're actually going on what they call a small boat cruise later on this year in the Puget Sound. And we've done several of these, and they're little cruise, but they're like 180 rooms. I mean, these are these little things because it's a Puget Sound. You can't have a princess thing in there.
Exactly.
But what I love is, you know, she's taking us, even though we tell her you don't need to, but she's spending my inheritance. And I just absolutely love that concept. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, Mom, when you die, there should be enough money in your account that we pay for your funeral and then we're done. Yeah. You know, don't ever think that you're to, you know, because I much prefer that she does these trips, that she did, you know, whether she takes us or not, you know, that she does the things that she enjoys rather than leaving it to me. Now, obviously, there are people who leaving a legacy for their children is incredibly important. But again, you know, you have to set that up.
But your mother is still leaving a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I have these
only
pictures.
Only have five bucks in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we mix this up, right, between legacy and estate planning.
Right.
You know, and I do try to break that apart a little bit in the section six, because there are a lot of things we all need to own. We need to own our, what do we want to do with our health?
Right.
And who's going to take care of us? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's all part of estate planning.
Take care of those legally, folks. Have that stuff written down, documented, done with the lawyer, whatever.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that comes with, are your assets titled correctly? Mm-hmm. And are they really passing in the most efficient way? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to do that. Estate planning.
Because you don't want the government to get it instead.
Exactly. But then there's the top shelf. That's really the legacy. That's all of these memories you have. I can imagine all the the photo wall you must have with, you know, mom and us on the Alaskan cruise, and mom and us in Scotland, and you know, things like all that's such a treasure. And then all the family history and the family values. That's legacy. That's what you're leaving. That's what mom is doing. You know, you're going to leave a big bank account, you know. Go spend it. Have a great time. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, I mean, it really is. And now we laugh that, you know, we're the Sherpa that go, and, you know, and that's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it is so much fun. You know, and the one thing, because when I was reading your book, I thought, oh, haven't done that. And I am in that, you know, we mentioned, you know, getting close to that. I'm like, oh, I have to start thinking about this. So I actually need to get a physical copy of your book as opposed to the digital version.
Oh, yeah, I will send one to you.
But yeah, it was, and, you know, the one thing that we did do, and we did this partially when I was diagnosed with cancer, was some of the absolute legal things. I mean, you know, I immediately did a will. Now it was easy peasy to do. I did an online version, you know, and one of the things that we did discover, and folks, it's different in every state. So, you know, make sure that you're checking out what happens in your state, you know, all of those various things. And so I was, because my will was basically saying, when I die, everything I have goes to my husband. I mean, that really made it pretty simple. So I did that. More importantly, I did the medical power of attorney, which, you know, when you go into a medical facility anymore, they're like, we have to have that. And, you know, and there were times where I was unable to say what I wanted. And so my husband had to, you know, but we had all that paperwork done. The hospital had it. The doctors had it. There were no questions. Nothing. And you know, I think a lot of people assume
he knew what you wanted.
Yes. Yes. You know, yeah, that was the other thing. I told him, you know, this is what we do. This is what we don't do. All of those things. And, you know, I've obviously done that with my mom. But I have also told her, okay, we're 1,000 miles apart. You need my aunt, who is half a block away, to also be involved, because she is probably more likely going to be the person to make those decisions, especially in a critical type of decision. Right. So, you know, think about all those things. The fun thing is, you know, we set up our trusts. We've done all of those things. And you know, might we change them as we go? Sure. I mean, you know, but we did take the time. It was not cheap, because when we finally actually did it, yes, we went to an attorney. We made sure that everything we were doing was compliant with Georgia law. And, you know, if and when we move, we'll have to change things.
Do it again.
The medical stuff was what surprised me, because one of the things I discovered is medical powers of attorney are actually not legally binding. You can say, this is what I want, and 99.9% of the time it will be followed. But, you know, say you have something that happens and you go into, say, a hospital that is, a religious organization is in charge of it. They're going to have different views on especially life-saving measures. You know, and so just because you say you want this, you know, but at least have a start, have it written down, have it communicated, and don't just say, well, I have a donor. I have the little heart on my driver's license, so I'm a donor. Because if your partner, your spouse, your child, whoever, doesn't want your whatever's donated, they're the ones that have to give permission. Just having that little thing on your driver's license doesn't do diddly. So, you know, we've only got about 5 minutes left, which is not nearly enough time. So we have to have you on again. You absolutely have to sit down and make your wishes known in writing and then review them. Yes. Like I said, things change. You know, part of our wills are provisions for our pets.
Absolutely.
10 years from now,
by the way, did you notice
pets.
That?
You had pets in there. I love pets. That.
Yes. I have two cats. Yeah. If I drop dead tomorrow, who's going to take care of them?
Right. You know, and so, you know, but, you know, 10 years from now, you might have 10 cats. And, you know, and so, yeah, you know, it's, and it's, you know, I always love the TV shows where, you know, that the child out of wedlock pops up. And in the will, it was, they only specified my children. So all of a sudden, you know, this child gets $14 gazillion.
Yeah.
You know, okay, no, specify Betty, Bob, and Sue.
Right.
And poor kid that's in, you know. But yeah, you know, it's just, so continually review these things. Make sure that you're still on the same page based on your situation.
And you know, I love that you shared all of that because it is so important. And having a will, I mean, my girls are 31 and 26. Mm-hmm. They both have wills and HIPAA.
And they're probably pretty basic because of their age.
They're basic. Mm-hmm. They have nothing. Yeah. You know, I mean, now they have some things, but as soon as they went away to college, because they both left Massachusetts. Right. So one
you
went
really
to Minnesota, one went to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was the medical part because can you imagine, you know, as a mother, you know, you get that call. Of course, it's always 2 in the morning. Oh my gosh, your daughter has been hit by a car and some accident has happened. Right. And that's all we can tell you.
Right. Because she's 23 or,
or 19, 18. Right. And their hands are tied. Mm-hmm. Is she alive? Mm-hmm. We can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not okay. So
am I flying out now?
Or is it, you know, a stubbed toe? And it's like, well, you were stupid, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you got two ends of the spectrum, but we insisted. And it's hard to talk to an 18-year-old that you could die.
Right.
And I said, it's unlikely you're going to die. Mm-hmm. It is likely you could be in an accident.
Right.
And well, we have to have access to that situation. Right. And legally, this is what we have to have in place.
Right.
So my kids have all of that and we review it. Every not we don't do it every year right now because it's been anchored in Minnesota, but Colorado to Pennsylvania to Minnesota.
Well, and as their family situations change, it's going to change. You know, if they get married, if they, you know, and that's the other thing that, you know, people sometimes forget is, you know, make sure your children, especially if they're underage, are taken care of. You know, all of those various things and LGBTQ. You know, I don't want to get into politics, but you know. Those are, you know, those situations
it's
are
different.
Evolving. And and so please make sure that the person you want to be in charge is legally designated to be in charge.
Yes. So important. And so we say this, right? This is amazing advice. And then the listeners are going, well, that's great, but how do I get started?
Right. So tell us, Marcia, how do they get started? What a segue. It's like you've done this before.
You go to section 6 of the new cookbook because it gives you, it's not everything. This is not an estate plan. This is not everything you need.
Right. It's a good
start.
But
it's where you get started. Do I have an estate plan? That is the first question. No.
I don't have an estate. That's one of the things people, I don't have a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
You know, but you have family heirlooms. Yeah. You know, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I do tell people is if you are breathing, you need an estate plan. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So once you're dead, you don't need it anymore.
But you don't care. Because you really can't take it with you. I mean, they could pack it in with you, but you know.
That's right. So it's just like not a start. So you've got some resources, you know, the kinds of questions people are needing an answer from you. Mm-hmm. And being able to make some decisions so that then you either, you know, downline, if you've got an easy family situation and whatnot, my kids, you know, it's easy to download forms. They're free. You like Google, you know, Minnesota state healthcare proxy.
Right. Yeah.
Or Minnesota
it's
state.
It's probably a 5-ish page form. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
And they check boxes. You know? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's all good. And you can do it. But if you don't even know like what to search on. Right. I feel we just leave everyone hanging. Right. And that's what I did. So for me, it's when you don't know what to make for dinner. Mm-hmm. Now, today we go online and we Google something, maybe. Mm-hmm. We look up the Pioneer Woman. Mm-hmm. I might have her cookbooks upstairs. Uh-huh. So I might sit down at the table, right, for 20 minutes and I'll just flip through a book. Mm-hmm. Oh, that chicken dish looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Look through the ingredients. Do I have them?
Yeah. Can I fake it?
Close enough. I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm. And then there's the instructions for what to do. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that in financial services. We don't have that about retirement or about estate planning. Mm-hmm. And the first thing is like, oh, you need to spend $10,000 and go see an estate planning attorney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's not where you start.
Right.
That's where you're getting to.
Yeah.
But understand what's going on and why and what decisions you need to make.
Right. So as we said, a good start is your book, Cooking Up Your Retirement Plan. We'll, of course, have a link in the show notes. But tell us about Mantell Retirement Consulting and the services that you provide.
Yeah, so I have three lanes, if you will, to my business. I do continue to work with large financial firms, home offices, working with usually the retirement team. Mm-hmm. And I come in as a consultant on projects they're working on and bring some new party plates to the table. And I work directly with financial advisors, and I help them particularly on the Social Security and Medicare front. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll do like what we're doing right now. We'll have a conversation and I'll work with an advisor on a client situation. Mm-hmm. Or more often, the advisor just brings their client on and we do a Zoom with three of us so that I can answer their questions directly. And I help them think through and navigate and get educated on Medicare in their zip code because there's nothing big and broad about Medicare. It's all the zip code level and what drugs you take and all of that. So it's very specific and very custom. And then I also work with consumers from time to time and I help them either going through the guidebook or do Medicare educational consultations with them. So they know what they're facing as they move from group plans at work or the ACA exchange into Medicare.
Right. I love it. You know, and your website has so much great resources. I mean, you mentioned, a 10 plus year blog, and things like that. So, it's very easy. It's just mantellretirementconsulting.com and it's M-A-N-T-E-L-L. And so please folks go there. Well, oh my gosh, Marcia. We really do have to do this again because I think this is so incredibly important. Because we didn't even touch on, what if you retire and you're going to start a new business? What are you going to do? I mean, all of those various things. So there's so many other ways that we can go with this. So we'll definitely have you back on. But until
thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Hasn't this been fun? Like I said at the start, folks, we can make this fun. do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yes, I would like to say, since it is Women's History Month, I would like everyone to just pick one woman and celebrate her journey. You know, we don't all have to be the first one to the moon, though I love that too. The people, the women in your lives, whether it's a teacher, your mother, your sister, a cousin, recognize the journey they've been on. And it has been bumpy for every one of them. And just a thank you, a hello, something to recognize them during Women's History Month would be greatly appreciated.
I love it. Well, I have been having so much fun talking retirement. Oh my gosh. With Marcia Mantell. Can't wait to do it again. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.